Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I just believe that you're going to be blessed by what we're going to talk about today. Today I'm speaking about the exciting topic, finances. God wants you to prosper and He wants you to have that which He has freely given unto you in Jesus Christ. And that includes finances. The only problem that I see in the church today is that we don't want to apply the New Testament principles when it comes to finances. We want to stick with the old. That's why we will stay in the former glory concerning finances. I just believe that there is a glory to be revealed in finances, and that only comes by faith. There's a righteousness that we have when it comes to finances that must be revealed by what Jesus has done, not by what we do. You must remember that the Old Testament only had a certain amount of glory. It didn't have the full glory, the full manifestation of the Spirit in it. It was just rules and regulations, and whatever you could get right out of that, you'll be blessed. So it was actually God's blessing upon human effort. And God's blessing is superabundant above all that we can ask or think, but our effort is so small. And we cannot do the right thing. That's why we struggle to receive. If you look at the Old Testament way of the glory, you would say it was a glory that passed away. It wasn't an everlasting glory. It was as long as what you did things, as long as what you obeyed, as long as what you just did everything right, you would walk in the glory of God. And that's what we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 6 there. Before we read, I just want to say this. If you listen to this broadcast or to this session on a CD or whatever, please listen to all of them. Don't just listen to the first one, because if you just listen to the first one, you're just going to think, well, giving is not for the church and giving is a sin. And then you'll be mistaken, you'll be in error, because that is not the truth. We need to look at what God has done in full. We need to go and look at the nature of the believer. We need, when it comes to finances. We need to go and look at the peace in the heart of a believer when it comes to finances. We need to go and look at the tithe principle. Is it of the law or of grace? We need to go and look at sowing and reaping. Is it of the law or is it of grace? We need to go and look at the New Testament way of giving and receiving according to Corinthians and Philippians and all those books. And if you don't listen to all of this, you will not truly have peace. You will run off with something that is just half a truth, and you will not walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Because I believe there must be balance in the church, and that balance is in Jesus Christ. So many times we want to balance a thing out between the law and grace, and we want to balance a thing out between what Jesus has done and what we must do. Now the balance is not there. The balance is all in Jesus. He lived a balanced life. He gave balanced teaching. And out of that we can live and move. And in Him we can have our being as Christians and believers. Remember what I said. There is a glory when it comes to finances that must still be manifested in the church. I just believe that the body of Christ will get into a place where they prosper so much, and where they will not be selfish, and where they will have money and money will not have them, that it will be an easy thing to evangelize the world, to preach the gospel to every person, where money will not become something that a person needs in order to have self-worth. If we take the whole thing of what Jesus has given unto us, our self-worth will be in Jesus. Our self-worth will be a Jesus worth. And will not be seen in the car we drive, the house we live in, the clothes we wear, but it will be in Jesus. And even if we wear something good, it will not mean anything to us. It will just be nice and that's it. And it will not make a difference to you what you wear, what you drive, who your friends are, any of those things, because your self-worth comes out of Jesus Christ. Now a person like that, that is completely established in Jesus, and that knows that all prosperity has been freely given to him because of Jesus' deeds, he will just start to walk in the glory of the financial outpouring that there will be because of what Jesus has done. He has opened the floodgates, and there's not enough room to contain what he has given. But that manifests through faith. Now let's get into 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read there from verse 6. And it says, "Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadily behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excel." Now isn't that powerful? That is so, so powerful. He says that there was a glory under the law. When the law was there, the face of Moses did shine so much that they could not steadily look at the face of Moses. You know, when we think of the face of Moses, we think of this light glow. Now that is not the way his face looked. If you look at the sun, you can look at the sun, but you cannot steadily look at the sun because it is just too much glorious. Now that was the manifestation of God on man still under the law. That was the goodness of God, how God smeared off onto him because still under the law, just because he was in God's presence. Now how much more will God not be seen through us if he comes and indwells us? Now what was seen on the face of Moses was a reflection of what was on the mountain. The same glory that he saw was reflecting off his face. That means the goodness that was in God was seen on Moses. And I want to take it to finances. The wealth and the peace and the power that was on God was seen on Moses. And in the same way, there's a manifestation in the New Testament that's so much greater than the old. Listen to what it says in verse 6. It says, "Who also has made us able ministers not of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 7, "But if the ministration of death, which was engraved in stones, was so glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadily behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" Now, the reason why I say this is that you can see that the Scripture says clearly that the ministration of the Spirit is much greater in manifestation of who God is. The problem with the glory on the face of Moses, he had to wear a veil so the people couldn't see that it was fading away. That glory wasn't an everlasting glory. Because of man's sinfulness and because of man's sin and his inability to live like God, the glory couldn't remain on him. But because of Jesus and because of his obedience, the glory of God can rest upon man. Because it rests upon Jesus. Jesus is our representative in the flesh. So if it can rest upon him, it can rest upon me because of him. That means that we can have that abundance of goodness that God has given in Jesus without it fading away. Without your human effort, but because of Jesus. Now, you might say, but Bertie, that scripture speaks about the glory of God. It doesn't speak about finances. Now, I just believe that when you talk about the glory of God, you talk about the goodness of God. The Bible says He will meet our needs according to His riches in glory. That's why we need to take the scripture about the glory of God and we must connect it with finances, because He says He'll meet our needs according to His riches in glory. That's in Philippians. So He says clearly, the amount of glory meets the need. So the more the glory, the better the needs will be met. Now, if your need can be that you want to sponsor 100 churches financially, and the need that you have is to sponsor 50 evangelists with, and just to meant to everything, you want to pay everything. If that's your need, I want to tell you, you need the glory of Jesus Christ to manifest in your life to meet that need. You'll have to have a business idea that comes out of God. Not out of your human way of thinking, but out of God. And you'll need the nature and the character of God to give that money away. Because once you get that amount of money and your heart is not as the heart of God, that money will grab you. I can promise you that. So, we can see that in the Old Testament, people could gain easily. But all they could give was according to the law. And then through the law was a consciousness of sin. And through the law, people saw that they didn't have the ability to do that law. So if the law said give 10%, the people were inclined to cheat. They were inclined to pay 8% or 5%, but not 10%. Because the law shows you that you are a sinner. Because of its holiness. So the law is not the way by which we should give. But you might say, Bertie, the tithe was not under the law, because Abraham tithed unto Melchizedek 400 years before the law. Yeah, and so Abraham was circumcised as well. So if circumcision came to God's people before the law, why aren't we continuing with circumcision, but we want to continue with the tithe? I do believe in giving. I do believe in giving 10% of your income, or 5%, or 20%. It doesn't matter. As you feel in your heart, as the Holy Spirit leads you and directs you to give according to His nature that indwells you. Now, I want to tell you this, like one guy said to me, he said, Bertie, I'm going to pray to see how much I must give to you. Then I just warned him. I said to him, you know what, if you want to go and pray about this, it's fine with me. But don't say, I'm going to pray about this to get out of this. Because the guy that you ask how much you must give wasn't ashamed or afraid to see his son being slaughtered for the spreading of this gospel. He doesn't feel that much for the 100,000 you've saved. He might just say, give it all. Because he's fanatical when it comes to the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost, and to get people equipped, to train people as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't think that this message of God's grace when it comes to finances is a cop-out. It's not a cop-out, not a give. It is actually a way that teaches you how to give easily. It makes giving easy. It doesn't make it difficult. Because we know that God has blessed us, and by our deeds we will not be blessed. We know that He has blessed us because we know that He has provided for us. Giving comes up in our hearts. Now, He says here that there's an exceeding greater glory of the Spirit. That means there's an exceeding greater glory of manifesting provision for us. I was so blessed when I read the scripture in Philippians, I think it's 4:19, where it says, my God shall meet your needs according to His riches in glory. Because you take Exodus 34, it says there, and Exodus 33 verse 17 actually, where it says, Moses said to God, show me your glory. God said, I will let all my goodness pass before you. So what He says is, God will meet our needs according to the riches that there is in His goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what it actually says is, under the Old Testament, there was just a smaller manifestation of goodness than in the New. So the more you get into the good news, the more you push the law away from you. You know what Paul said? He said he counted it but dung. Not that I say that the law is done, but the mentality to think that by being a Pharisee, by wearing the right clothes, by going through the right rituals, going through all the do's and don'ts that was prescribed by the people of his time, and out of the rituals they saw in the Old Testament scriptures, what he calls the letter or the ministration of death, written and engraved on stones, he counted that way of thinking dung. Now I tell you, you don't want to have anything to do with dung. That's it. It's not good for you. Man, it is explicit, but it is just that way. God wants you to grab a hold of the more glory. Why the more glory? Because it's more goodness. Why? Because out of His goodness He meets your needs. Now there's a scripture and we'll get late into that, but I just want to say it now to just bring peace into your heart. You know, the Bible says if you want to know the provision of God, you must look at the birds of the air. Neither do they sow or reap or gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Oh man, isn't that good? So what is the basis of God's provision for us? His goodness and our worth to Him. He says, don't you know that you are worth more than they? Don't you know that you are worth more than the fowl of the air, than the birds of the air? Now if the birds has got so much worth in front of God that He is willing to care for them, and your worth is so much more than the worth of the birds, how much more will He not care for you? He'll care for you because He loves you. Now let's go into Hebrews chapter 7. And we're quickly going to have a look at the tithe. Where does a tithe come from? How does a tithe work? Hallelujah. Hebrews 7 verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, whom but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now, before I read verse 4, I just want to say this. When we look at this whole piece in Hebrews chapter 7, we must realize this doesn't speak about the tithe. Now you might say, Barry, but why do you want to preach about this? Just because there's one interesting scripture in here that blesses me and puts this whole tithing thing in perspective. But what it actually says here, and what Hebrews 7 is about the order of Melchizedek and the greatness of his priesthood. Now as I'm going to read from verse 4, you will see what Hebrews chapter 7 up to verse 19 actually says unto us, is that Melchizedek's priesthood was higher, he was higher in the eyes of God than Abraham. Because Abraham honored him and paid a tithe unto him. And then out of Abraham was born Isaac, so he was a descendant of Abraham. Now imagine the family came, here comes Abraham and Isaac, and they come to Melchizedek. I mean, even Isaac will be in will have to respect Melchizedek, because he's even his father's son, even lower in hierarchy. And out of him was born, out of Isaac was born Jacob. And out of Jacob, the 12 tribes. And then, one of the tribes named Levi. And some of the Levites were chosen to do priestly duties. But they were seen a little bit higher than the other people because they did the priestly duties. Now, they had a right to take tithes from the people in accordance to the law. Now what this whole thing in Hebrews actually says is, he says, the Levites were higher than the normal Israelite, because they had to pay a tithe unto them. But then the Bible says, they were still in the loins of Abraham when Abraham paid a tithe unto Melchizedek. And all of that was said so that people could know that there was a priestly order to come after the order of Aaron, which was Jesus Christ, and which is in everlasting life because He lives forever, and that He is in the order of Melchizedek, because it was prophesied in Psalms that there will come another order. So this, I just had to say that you can know the context of the scripture, so you don't think, well, I just want to pull something out of context. I understand what Hebrews chapter 7 is all about. But let's just read this so you can hear what I've said is just in the scriptures. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham, but whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promise. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men receive tithes, but there, now just when it says here, here men receive tithes, you must remember the day after Jesus was resurrected, the whole priestly thing didn't stop. It continued for until about 70 AD, you know, where they still had the temple and they had the temple duties. Nobody stopped with that. They continued with that. They didn't end with all that. They were still slaughtering animals. They were still doing all those things. The priests were still wearing the robes. I mean, some of those Jews are still wearing it today. But they didn't think it stopped. That's why it says in verse 8, it says, and here men that die receive tithes. And it can speak of two things. It can speak of the Levites that die that receive the tithes. It can speak about it right here in the book of Hebrews, a couple of years after Jesus was resurrected. And can also speak about the whole Levitical priesthood of men that is mortal receiving tithes. That's what it says in verse 9. And as I may say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not to be called after the order of Aaron? Now just, you know, that verse 11 is so powerful. It says, but if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood. Now under the Levitical priesthood, people received the law. The law to take up tithes from the people. That's it. There was no law to receive tithes. Abraham paid tithes once. And that's it. It was only recorded that he paid it once. Once I heard a guy that said, you know, even Adam and Eve paid tithes unto God. Man, it's just not true. They say that the tithe that they had to pay was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was God's tree. They were not allowed to eat of that, and that was the tithe that they paid. Now that's not true. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was just the thought pattern of the devil, which God warned them against. It was not the tithe. I mean, it's just like that. Maybe you've never heard that teaching, so I don't want to just... Maybe you've heard that. I should tell you it's not the truth. And when Abraham paid the tithe, it was not commanded of him. He gave it out of his own mind. Hallelujah. But we're still going to get into that. Hallelujah. So what it says here in verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise in the order of Melchizedek? For the priesthood, verse 12, being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So, under the Levitical priesthood, there was a law that came. You can go and read in Deuteronomy 14. There came a law that said, you must take up tithes from the people. And if you don't take up the tithes, you're robbing God. For it's God's commandment. And that will go for the Levites so that there can be meat in my house. And was just speaking about the food that there was supposed to be in the house and the religious service that there was towards the widows and the orphans and all those people and the poor. And he says here that there was not perfection by the law. By that law there was no perfection. It was not a perfect priesthood. There was a priest needed later on, which was Jesus, which could really do the right intercession for us so that we could really be forgiven, really be made righteous and be made holy and walk in the fullness of God. So by the law, there could not be perfection. And the context here is not finances, but it includes finances. By the law, there was no perfection financially. And he says here very clearly, And he says here very clearly that they had a commandment, verse 5, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi who received the office of priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Then verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. I mean, that law of the tithe has changed. You might say, Bertie, but that's too radical. Well, you just go and read Hebrews chapter 7 tonight and sort your heart out with God. Because that's what this scripture says. And I've read it and I've studied it out in the context to the best of my ability, and I've read commentaries on this. That is what it says. There was a law given. You must pay the tithe. And if you don't pay the tithe, you are robbing God. And that was under the Levitical priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood, by which the law came, or through which the law came, could not minister perfection unto you. Now I look at some people in churches, I look at some ministries, and I look at the abundance of wealth that there is in those ministries and what they are getting right. I look at Pastor Chris from Nigeria, T.B. Joshua, Kenneth Copeland, and a lot of guys that's really prospering. And if those guys, if that's the prosperity that was still under the Levitical priesthood, which is not perfection, I wonder how the prosperity of perfection will look once the whole body of Christ grab a hold of this and start to function by the prompting of the Spirit and not the prompting of the law. I tell you, the church will take over. We'll start businesses, we'll be involved in this world, and there'll be a financial revolution. Because the blessing of Jesus, the perfection of financial prosperity, will manifest when we start to say, we don't want to do this thing under the law, but we want to do it under grace. Man, isn't that powerful? That is the power of God. We're going to continue later on, and God bless you.